A buddy of mine was a truck driver, and he went to this truck stop one time, and it was like a really good truck stop. It's the kind that had fuel, it had showers, it had massage chairs, it had Slim Jims the size of baseball bats. You know, it was a trucker's paradise. And so he's standing outside his rig, and this guy walks up to him, and he says, "You know, you look like a man of culture." And my friend thought to himself, well, no one's ever called me that name before, but yeah, sure, I'll take it. And he said, you know, photography is a way that you can explore the world and express yourself. My friend thought, well, I'm not really much for art, but, you know, I do like to explore, and expressing myself usually deals with what toppings I'm putting on top of my nachos, so yeah, I'm with you so far. And then the guy says to him, I have this camera, and this camera is worth well over $3,000, but I need the cash today, so I am willing to give it to you for $400. My friend's like, oh my goodness, can't believe this deal dropped into my lap. I mean, this is fantastic. I'd be an idiot not to buy this. And he said, worst case scenario, I mean, he's thinking to himself, worst case scenario, I sell it in a couple days for $1,000 and I make money. I can't lose in this deal. And so he forks over $400 to the guy, and the guy hands him the camera. And he's standing there looking at this camera, thinking to himself, you know, I thought it would be a lot heavier than it is. And he looks up at the guy, and he sees that he is in a dead sprint to his car. And he gets in his car, he slams the door, and he peels out of the parking lot like he just robbed a bank. And sure enough, my friend opens up the camera, and he sees that there is nothing on the inside of the camera. It's absolutely hollow. In fact, the sticker that had the logo for the company, it's just a sticker. He peeled it right off. It was a fake. Now, my friend did not say, you know, that's fine. Real or fake, it doesn't really make a difference. I'll just take it anyway. No, he was furious. He got played. He wanted the real thing, but he got a fake. And that's how it is, right? There's a huge difference between something that's real and something that's fake. It's not just that they're the same and it's kind of, you know, whatever. No. There's a difference between something that is real and something that is fake. You might want a real camera, but no one wants a fake camera. There's a difference between something that's real and something that's fake. If you read through the Bible, you will see that you were created to worship God. That is your purpose in life. But here's the thing. There's a difference between real worship and fake worship. You were not created for fake worship. You were created to really worship God. And that's what you long for, because it's what you were created for. It's what you want to do with your life, even if you don't know it. It's what you were made for. You don't want to, I mean, sitting in here, I know you don't want to just go through the motions, do you? You don't want to just come here on Sunday and sing the words with your mouth while your mind is somewhere else. And you don't want to just come to church to check a box and then leave no different than how you came in. Or you don't want to give God this little part of your life over here, but then keep all of this back from Him. No, you want to really worship. Here's what real worship is. Real worship is giving everything to God because of who He is. Real worship is giving everything to God because of who He is. That's what you were made for. That's what you long to do. That's real worship. Well, we are in a series of lessons right now on the book of Ecclesiastes called Searching for Purpose. And today we're looking at Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 7. And we're going to see how to really worship. Now, I don't know this, but it seems like right now we could be on the edge of renewal or revival in our country. It seems like God is doing something incredible that we have not seen in a long time. We might be there. And here's what I know. You don't want to be fake during that, do you? You don't want to fake it while God's doing something real. And so if you want to really worship, this is for you. How can you really worship? We're going to see three ways to really worship. Let's start with the first way. How can you really worship? Number one, obey God. Obey God. When we think of worship, our minds immediately come to what happens here at church on Sunday. Right? We think about the singing, we think about the praying, we think about the sitting through the sermon, trying to check our phone without anybody else noticing. You know, that's kind of what we think of as worship. What happens on Sunday at church? But that's not all that worship is. Worship is giving everything to God because of who He is. And look what verse 1 has to say about real worship. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Better to approach in obedience than to offer the sacrifice as fools do, for they ignorantly do wrong. Now, those first few words are pretty interesting. Guard your steps as you go into the house of God. Now, it's not saying like, hey, you better watch out because there are a couple steps that lead up into the church, and if you're not guarding your steps, you'll trip, and then, you know, you'll be really embarrassed. That's not what it's saying. Instead, verse 1 is talking about how you live. It's saying that you better watch how you're living. You better check what you are doing because God sees everything. You can't just live however you want Monday through Saturday and then come here to church and, you know, really get into the songs, close your eyes, raise your hands, maybe even say amen during the sermon if you're, you know, really wild. You can't just do those things and then expect God to go, oh, you know what, that's what I want. That's real worship. No, God sees right through it. He's saying, you better watch how you live all the time. You better follow God's rules 24/7 because real worship obeys God. Back in the Old Testament, that's the first half of the Bible, people would sin, and then after they sinned, they would have to go sacrifice for forgiveness. You know, they would sin in some way, maybe tell a lie, maybe be a little envious, maybe really want that car or that, I guess in that time, that donkey that their neighbors had that didn't squeak at the stoplight whenever they were waiting there. You know, they would have these sins that they committed during the week or at some point in their lives they would do wrong, and then they would sacrifice to God for forgiveness. But here's the thing, God had rules about those sacrifices. What kind of animal could be sacrificed, how that animal was sacrificed, where that animal was sacrificed. God had these rules, and some people, they just didn't care. They didn't care what God had to say. They didn't care about God's rules. So they were sacrificing however they wanted. They were just kind of going through the motions, not paying attention to God's rules, offering sacrifices in a way that God didn't want them to. You know, they were worshiping, but it wasn't really worship. It was empty. It was fake. And here's what God says to them. Better to approach in obedience than to offer the sacrifice as fools do, for they ignorantly do wrong. Here's what it's saying. You want to really worship? Obey God. Obey God. Imagine you were playing sports. And even if you are not a sports fan, you can follow this one. Imagine you're playing football. And your coach gets the team together. The coach draws up a play. And the coach looks at you and says, all right, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get in place. And as the play starts, I want you to run to your left. I want you to find number 98. And I want you to just push number 98 until the play is over, until you hear the whistle. And you say, okay, coach. And you get in position. The play starts and you start running to your left. And you are running as hard as you can. You are giving it all that you've got. And you see number 98 right there. You're running as fast as you can right toward number 98. And then you run right past number 98. In fact, you run right off the field, right by the coach, right past the bench, all the way up to the concession stand. Some of you are like, yes, that's the best part of sports, the concession stand. You run up there. You get a Gatorade. As you're holding it in your hand, you can see it's ice cold. It's great. It's that flavor that everybody likes, which is not fruit punch. A little hot take for you. You get that Gatorade, and you go back to the sidelines, and you hand it to your coach. And your coach is looking at you like you're crazy. And you say to him, coach, I know the play's over, and I want you to know that I am part of this team. I mean, look, I got a Gatorade for you. The coach looks at you and says, well, I don't need a Gatorade. I need you to listen to me. I need you to do what I say. I need you to obey me. If you are not going to obey, then you're not really part of this team. And the coach is right to think that. Well, in the same way, if you do not listen to God, if you don't do what he says, if you do not obey God, then you're not really worshiping. Real worship obeys God. And it obeys God not just today, not just on Sunday when you're here at church. Real worship obeys God all the time. Some of you, God brought you here so that you would hear this today. God would rather have your Monday obedience than your Sunday attendance. God would rather have your Monday obedience than your Sunday attendance. Now, to be clear, he wants both. But you cannot just live however you want. Sin all week. You know, if you gossip, if you look at things that you shouldn't be looking at, if you live selfishly, you sin all week and then come to church on Sunday to make up for it. Guess what? God sees right through that. He's not impressed. He's not convinced. He knows that's not really worship. Real worship obeys God. If you want to really worship, obey God. So that's the first way to really worship. But it's not the only way that we see here. There's a second way. You want to really worship? Number two, hear God. That's the second way. Hear God. So if you have your Bible, look with me at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Do not be hasty to speak, and do not be impulsive to make speech before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. Just as dreams accompany much labor, so also a fool's voice commands with many words. You're busy, aren't you? I mean, like all of us are busy. And the truth is, because we're busy, we don't have time to waste. We want to make every moment count. That's how we think about life. In fact, that's how we think about our relationship with God. We're busy. And so when we pray, it's something like, God, I just need to give you this list of things that I want or need in my life, so I will submit my verbal wish list to you, and then I'll say amen and be done. You know, we treat prayer like voicemail. We leave our message, and then we hang up. Well, let me ask you something. When you're leaving a voicemail, can you hear the person on the other side? No, that wouldn't be voicemail if that was the case. Instead, you can't hear from the other person. When your prayer is just a list of things that you want to say to God, and then you say amen, and that's all, well, then you're not hearing him. And that's not real worship. In fact, this is what people were doing back then, just in a different way. They were going to church, and they were making these very long prayers. You know, they were pulling out every verbal tool they had. Maybe they were even praying in the King James language with all the these and thous and thines, you know, trying to make a really impressive prayer to God. And they were doing it because they wanted to get something from God. And here's what God said to them. God is in heaven, and you are on earth, so let your words be few. Here's what it's getting at. Sometimes you need to just shut your mouth. Now, I know that some of you might have just nudged the person next to you like, hey, this is what you came to church to hear. But yeah, you need to hear it just like I need to hear it. Sometimes you need to just shut your mouth. God gave you two ears and one mouth. You've heard that before. It's a truism. People say it for a reason. God the Holy Spirit, that is the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, often speaks in a very still, small voice. And here's the thing. Some of us are talking over him. We are talking so much that we can't hear God speak. And so what we need to do is shut our mouths and sit in silence before God. If you want to live for God, if you want to have a life that where everything is given to him, every moment of every day, if you want to really worship, hear God. There was a man who seemed to be living the dream. I mean, he had the life that some people look at and they go, oh man, if I could just have a life like that, then I would feel whole. He had this business that was worth millions of dollars. He married the love of his life. He had two beautiful children. They were the type of family that went on vacations that you're like, okay, do people actually go? Like, I see they're on commercials, but does that actually happen? That was the kind of vacations they went on. And then their house was the kind that you see in magazines and you're like, okay, that's for sure photoshopped. No one's house is that clean. That was his life. He had it all. And in the span of 2 years, it all fell apart. He lost everything. He and his wife were separated. He only saw his children every other weekend. He lost his business. He was no longer the owner of it. He had hit rock bottom. And it was at the lowest that he did something so strange, so crazy, that you would never imagine it would have any effect on anything. He was getting ready for bed one night, and he took a piece of tape, and he decided to tape his mouth shut. He went to sleep, and then he woke up the next day feeling more refreshed than he had felt in years. And he was like, this is amazing. So every night before he went to sleep, he would put a piece of tape on his mouth so that his mouth would be closed the whole night. And because his mouth was taped shut, it forced him to breathe through his nose. And because he was breathing through his nose, he was getting better sleep, which meant that he had more energy, which meant that he was able to focus more at work, which meant that his relationships started getting better. It changed everything for him. And just a little while later, it turns out that his life was better than ever. He was back together with his wife. He was living in the house with his family again. He had started a new business that was bigger and better than the one that he had before. All because he decided to tape his mouth shut. That tape forced him to use his nose to breathe. Listen to me. That's what some of us need. We need to shut our mouths, not so that we can use our nose. We need to shut our mouths so that we would use our ears. Now, I'm not saying literally go home and tape your mouth shut. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen, I'm sure. But some of us need to learn to stop talking and start listening to God. You want to really worship? Hear God. And this is what I think that you would find. If you gave space for God to speak to you, if you sat in silence before God after saying, God, I am your servant, speak to me, then I think that you would find the Holy Spirit telling you, you haven't forgiven that person who hurt you 5 years ago. You need to do that. Or the way that you spoke to your family member yesterday, that was way out of line. You need to repent and apologize. Or you are so worried about this doctor's appointment coming up, but listen, you are mine and I have you. Or you've been avoiding that friend who is going through a hard time because it seems really messy, but hey, I am calling you to step into their lives and show them love. Or you've been keeping your faith private, but that neighbor or coworker that has been on your heart, I am calling you, I am telling you to share the gospel with them. If you would just shut your mouth, you would hear God. And as you hear him, your life would begin to change. Your life would begin to align with God's will. You would start living for him. You would start giving everything that you are to God because of who he is. And you know what that is? That's real worship. To really worship, hear God. That's the second way. And then there is a third way to really worship. It is number three, fear God. Fear God. Ecclesiastes kind of gives us a test case for real worship. And this test case is vows. It is vowing to God. And what it's getting at is weighty words spoken to a holy God have a weighty follow through. Okay, so look with me at verse 4. When you make a vow to God, don't delay fulfilling it, because he does not delight in fools. Fulfill what you vow. Better that you do not vow than that you vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth bring guilt on you, and do not say in the presence of the messenger that it was a mistake. "Why should God be angry with your words and destroy the work of your hands? For many dreams bring futility, so do many words. Therefore, fear God." Now, most of us hear that term, fear God, and we immediately go to being afraid of God. You know, like the way that you fear spiders, the way that you fear public speaking, the way that you fear carbohydrates during bathing suit season. You know, like we think to fear God means to be afraid of God. But that's not really what fearing God is. Fearing God means having awe and respect for him. It is recognizing the difference between God and people. It is treating God differently than you treat people. That's what fearing God is. And that's what these verses are talking about. So back when this was written, people would go to the temple, which was kind of like church, and they were making vows to God. They were saying, "God, I am going to do this for you. God, I am going to give this in my life to you. God, I'm going to spend this much time doing this work for you." And you can kind of understand why someone would do that. They go into the temple, which was this glorious place. It was beautiful. And they were in the presence of God in a special way there with the people of God. Maybe they were overcome by emotion. Maybe they were overwhelmed by that moment. And so they wanted to respond in some way. And they were like, "God, I will do these things for you." They make a vow in the heat of the moment. And then, after they had told God they would do these things, they went home. And life happened. You know, work got busy. The medical bills came in. New responsibilities were dumped on them. They had personal projects to work on. And all of a sudden, they were rethinking the promises that they made to God. They were rethinking what they told God they would do for him. And here is God's solution to these people for what they are going through. It's the last two words of verse 7. Fear God. That's the solution. Fear God. In life, sometimes you tell somebody that you are going to do something, and then you have to change whatever you told them, right? I'm sure that happens to you. You make plans, and then you have to cancel plans because something else happens. And that's fine. That happens in life because, you know, life gets crazy. And that person is not the most important being in your world. So it's okay to change plans, to cancel plans with them. It is one thing to flake on a lunch date. It's another thing to flake on God. If you are going to give everything to God because of who he is, if you are going to really worship God, you better not treat him like that. If you are going to honor him, then you better fear him. And that is the opposite of fearing God, when you just treat him like you treat anybody else. If you tell God you're going to do something, you better do it. There are no excuses when it comes to God. He knows everything. He hears everything. He knows what's going on in your life. You need to have this awe and respect for God like you have for nobody else. You need to treat him differently than you treat anybody else. You want to really worship? Then fear God. Have you ever been to a wedding before? Don't respond. That wasn't a real question, I guess. Yeah, I'm sure you've been to a wedding before. I mean, great experiences, right? Some of the most special experiences that you can have. I mean, depending on the food, you know, the cake. If it's not good, what's even the point of going to the wedding? You've been to weddings before, and it's this really emotional thing, this really great experience that you have. So imagine that you know somebody who has just fallen head over heels in love. And all they can talk about to you is how much they love this person, how they want to spend the rest of their life with this person. They can only talk about this person. And so they decide to get married. And the big day comes, you show up, and it is amazing. The groom looks great in his suit, and the bride looks beautiful in her dress, and the flowers and the decorations all are perfect. And they're standing up there, and with the most sincere and honest feelings, they look deep into each other's eyes and they say, "I promise to love you to honor you, to cherish you, to be faithful to you forever, no matter what. And everyone's watching, everyone's listening, everyone's kind of crying. You're there together. You see it happen as they trade their vows. Now, let's say that a month later, you happen to see this person that you know out, and you're like, hey, haven't seen you in a while. Tell me, how is married life? Are you enjoying it? They say, yeah, I guess. You know, it's kind of been crazy lately. Like, I've got all these projects at home, and I've got these bills, and work has just been insane. And yeah, I know that I said that I was going to love this person and cherish this person and be faithful, but life has happened. You know, I just don't have time to do all of that. And so, no, I haven't been loving them and cherishing them and been faithful to them. Okay, if that person told you that, how would you feel? Other than feeling like slapping them and waking them up, I'm sure that you would feel like, are you kidding me right now? You said you love them. You committed to them. You said that you were faithful to them, but you're not. You're fake. I can see how you really feel and how you really treat that person. Friends, how many of us want to worship God? We want to give everything to God, but then we treat him like that. We treat him like we would treat any other person. You know what that means? It means our worship's fake. We should fear God. And we should never treat him flippantly or lightly. He is the king of the universe. He is the creator of everything. He is the one who gives you your very breath that you are breathing right now. Yet we treat him like any other person. Well, if we want to really worship, then we better fear God. Now, maybe something's been going on in your life lately. Now, maybe something bad has happened in your life. Maybe somebody close to you has passed away. Maybe you got some really scary news about your health. And when that happened, you came to God and you were like, okay, God, I give everything to you now. Like, that's it. I know that I'm supposed to be living for you, so I will do whatever you say. You know, I'm going to get back in church. I am going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to pray regularly. I give everything to you. Maybe that's you, and maybe you said that to God a week ago. Maybe you said it a month ago. Maybe you said it a year ago. And since then, life has happened. You got busy. Your family has really needed you. Your finances haven't been what you thought they would be. And now you're starting to make excuses to God for why you are not going to do what you told him you would do. You're starting to flake on him. You're saying, well, God, I said that before this happened. God, I committed to that before all of this fell on me. God, I meant it when I said it, but things have changed. And you're treating God like you would treat anybody else. Does that sound like you're fearing God? Does it sound like you are dealing with the king of the universe? Does it sound like you are really worshiping? Does it sound like you're giving everything to God? No, of course not. The truth is, it's fake. It's empty because you're not giving everything to God. You want to really worship? Here's what you need to do. Fear God. Recognize who he is. Respect him. Have awe for him because he is so much greater than anyone or anything else. Fear God. If you really want to worship, fear God. So that's the third and final way that we're going to see today. Wouldn't it be awesome if you gave everything in your life to God? Wouldn't it be awesome if you held nothing back from him? Isn't that what you want for your life? Don't you feel the longing to worship like that? Well, if you really want to worship, then obey God, hear God, and fear God. But here's the truth. None of us do this perfectly. We don't always obey. We don't always slow down to hear. We don't always fear God as we should. And because of that, our worship is often fake. It's empty. It's divided. Well, friends, that's why Jesus came. Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, left heaven and lived here on earth. And he obeyed the Father perfectly. He listened to the Father's voice perfectly. He feared the Father perfectly, even to the point of submitting to his will of death on a cross. You see, Jesus is the only person who ever really worshiped without flaw. And then on the cross, he took the punishment that we deserve for our failure to worship. He died on the cross in our place. He was buried. And then he rose up from the grave 3 days later and he ascended into heaven. And now Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to everyone who trusts in him. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to worship in a way that we could never do on our own. He empowers us to obey, to hear, and to fear God with our whole lives. And so here's what I want you to hear. Don't leave here today thinking that you just have to try harder. No, leave today trusting Jesus, the true worshiper who died in your place and gave you his Spirit so that you could truly worship. Because you can't really worship unless it is through Jesus in the Spirit to the glory of the Father. If you are here today and you have never trusted in Jesus, then hear me now. You will never truly worship unless you trust in him. Jesus died for sinners like us. Real worship is only possible in Jesus. The fact is that we are sinners, that we have separated ourselves from God, that we truly don't worship him. But Jesus died for sinners like us, and he rose again so that we could be forgiven. So if that's you, if you know I'm talking to you, come to God now and say, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I have not worshiped you as I should. I know that I have not worshiped you as my creator. But forgive me of my sin. Accept me because of who Jesus is and what he has done. And if you trust in Jesus in your heart, your sins will be forgiven. And you will finally worship the way that you were created to. If you have questions about that, if you want to do that, if you want someone to pray with you about that, I'm going to be standing right down here after the service waiting for you. Don't leave here today without trusting in Jesus and really worshiping. Christian, don't settle for fake worship. Don't give part of your life to God and then keep the rest to yourself. Don't just show up, sing the words, go through the motions. No, you were made for more than that. You were made to give God everything because of who he is. So this week, obey when it's hard. This week, hear God when you just want to talk. This week, fear God more than you fear anything else. And when you stumble, look to Jesus. He is the true worshiper who obeyed perfectly, who listened perfectly, who feared perfectly, and who died and rose again so that you could worship in spirit and in truth. So stop holding back. Give him all of you. Because when you really worship, you step into the life that you were created for, the joy that you were saved for, and the purpose that your soul longs for. So truly worship him this week.